Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
This morning, we've already had the opportunity to taste something that's really good out of several, a thematic out of Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good, and the Word of God is good. And this morning, we're going to open the Word up. Guy Medeiros is going to share with us, and I'm going to be speaking for the next 4 weeks. My name is Tom Kyle. My wife and I have the privilege of serving here, Randy, and we love this family. But this morning, Randy and I were talking with Guy and Dana at the end of last year, and he was just sharing what God had put on his heart, and I said, I want you to share that first Sunday in January. So that is what we're going to do, and taste something sweet and lovely and life-giving. So can I have everyone stand just as Guy comes, and we're going to bless the Word and bless our souls to receive what Jesus wants to give us this morning. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that when everything else is upside down, when everything else is a mess, your Word stands true. That it is the one constant in this world that we live in. Your Word never fails. And we put our trust in what you say, your kingdom, your values, your priorities, what you say is important. Yes. Father, we say, it's you, it's you, it's you. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. Father, we bless Guy this morning. Thank you for the Word that you've given him. Lord, that it would be sweet indeed to our souls. As we hear it, we mix it with faith and say, Father, I want 2025 to be amazing. I want it to be productive. I want this year to count. I want my life to count. Like we heard from Mark, Lord, I want people to come to know you this year. Use me this year, Jesus. I don't want to shy away or miss opportunities. Father, Holy Spirit, come right now to stimulate my heart to receive from your Word, that I would be moved forward this year in you. Bless this man, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Guy Medeiros.
Thank you. Yeah. You can keep going. There we go. I appreciate that, Luke. I appreciate that. Hey, thank you, everybody. I'm Guy Medeiros, as Tom said. Who's here for maybe been coming here since like November, no earlier than November? You're relatively new. Raise your hand. Just like to see how. Okay, good. So most of you have seen enough of us to this won't weird you out. I just wanted to first of all thank Tom, because it's a really good privilege to come up when God shares something with you and then be able to share it, you know, at one time with a lot of people that you are doing life with and rely on as a family. And I understand that, and I just take that really seriously and appreciate it. So what I wanted to share this morning, sometimes it's just, this is generally the Word of God towards you, and then sometimes it's like, this is very specifically a timely thing that for whatever reason he wants us to hear and understand, right? Might not be the same individually for each one of us, but it's something he wants us to hear now. So I think this is one of those. So that's kind of the flavor for today. If you don't know me, been going here for 10 plus years. Anything I say up here, if it sounds good, it probably was Dana's idea. If you're thinking, maybe he shouldn't have said that, that was all me. But I value so much my wife and our relationship and how she helps me shape, how I understand God and vice versa, I hope. But just want to, you know, you're never just hearing me, you're always hearing us and what the Holy Spirit's doing kind of in our lives at that time and in our revelation, our understanding. So I just want to say it's not just me, although I'll be doing the talking today because my voice sounds so great today. So that's why we chose me. Has anybody had the privilege of raising teenage kids? Raise your hand real quick. Okay, now raise them again if you've had the privilege of teaching one of those children to drive. Okay, y'all get me. You know exactly where I'm coming from. Like, I didn't think it was possible to push my foot through the floorboard of a car, pushing an imaginary brake. But and I have kids that they've taken to it really well. They've done a really good job and picked it up. But that fear of like saying, putting somebody in there and getting in the passenger seat beside them and they're going and you're kind of getting on the highway for the first time and with them and entering there, it is just, doesn't matter that you pick Sunday afternoon at a low traffic time. There's a lot of angst that comes in there. So maybe that's what was going on as I was waking up. Now we're back in December. A lot of people here, we're just going to raise our hands a lot because it's fun. It keeps people from falling asleep. But are you one where God is, you know God has spoken to you in a dream or through a dream? But that is way more than I thought. So that doesn't happen to me. My dreams are just, my brain just messing with me, I guess. I've never had that feeling that that's happening. But I have had several times as I'm waking up, before I fully put on the me of the day, right, and what I'm going to do, I am very susceptible to just being able to hear what's going on that's not in my plan during those times. So a lot of times God will speak to me in that little tiny time, and that's a start of the day kind of thing. And so this happened to me. I'm waking up. This is not part of the dream, but in this, I'm almost there, but not quite there. I'm in the passenger seat of a car, not with my dear kids I'm teaching. The person was just, you know how dreams are, just a vague not me person. And I'm in the passenger seat of the car, and I'm thinking, oh man, I wouldn't have gone that slow. I wouldn't have taken that turn like that. You know, just like those little things, and frustrated that I'm having to be in the passenger seat instead of the driver's seat. Because I hate being a passenger. I really like driving. It's probably a control issue. There's probably something wrong. I should look into that. But I mean, that's my thing. And in there, I'm mentally saying, as I'm still in that twilight waking up, being like, I hate being the passenger in a car. Yes. I don't know. That's the thought that I'm waking. Anybody with me? Dana would never drive a car if she never had to again. Amen. She'd be done. Amen. But if you're like that, you know, I just don't like to sit over there. And so then the Holy Spirit said something to me. And before I say what that is, how many people know that the Holy Spirit does not act one way towards everyone? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The way you understand the Holy Spirit is probably not the way that the people around you do. He's a big, huge, massive God. Yes. If you don't believe that, read, like sometimes I like reading about black holes and planets and what's going on. Literally millions and millions of miles away that we can understand now through all that's going on with the space program. And just thinking, he's there. Like he put it all in motion. He knows just as much about what's going on in that black hole, understands it completely, things that we're just understanding. That's the same God that is speaking to me about being a passenger in a car. Same guy. And he talks to me one way because I receive things one way, and he knows that because he made me. And he's going to talk to you in a different way. So when I tell you how he speaks to me, don't like think that's not God, because it is, right? So, and it's okay. It's good that he can be completely different when he needs to be. But he's always the same. Figure that out. We'll do that another day. So this is what he says to me after I just get done saying, I hate being a passenger in a car. And he goes, well, you spent all 2024 doing that. And I'm like, he's like, so you get to stay there? And instantly, even before you've unpacked it all, you get that little bit of conviction and you're like, well, that was rude. You know? And I start thinking about that. And that's a for me thing, right? You guys, I won't bore you with that. Two people are already asleep. That's fine. I hope they get awesome naps because everybody's recovering from something. But like, I won't bore you with that. But I will say, as I'm unpacking what that means for me, and Dana and I are talking about that, it's one of those things where the Holy Spirit goes, yeah, that question that I'm asking you isn't just for you. So it's for us, for all of us. And I don't go off lightly thinking that the Lord is speaking through me to other people. That's not like a conclusion I jump to. That's something he has to kind of really make obvious and clear. So I'm as sure as I can be. So that was a long setup to tell you this, but it was this, why are you in the passenger seat? Why are you being passive specifically in relation to my walk with him and what I do as a servant of him? So as we go through today, I want to make a couple things clear. Number one, God doesn't need your help. to accomplish his goals. He does not need it.
That's right.
He is completely able to do, I mean, he can part the Red Sea. He can speak things into existence. He doesn't need you, but he wants to include us. It's his good pleasure to include us and to develop us, because that's the glory he gets, is when we're doing his work for him, even though he doesn't need us to. So I'll point that out, first of all. And second of all, I'll say, when we do good works, there's this saying that we use in this church, at least in this first place, it's not, I'm doing good works for the cross, right, to prove that I'm good and that he really has changed me. It's, no, I'm doing good works from the cross. Oh my gosh, so much has been done for me, and I want to be like my dad, and I want to do that for other people, right? So when I'm talking about good works today, it's not the kind that I think are going to, you know, get me a better seat in heaven, although there's a precedent for that. And or I'm doing this to be good. It's, I'm doing this from a heart that's overflowing out of goodness. However, I also know me, I can tend to be some of my language will tend towards being provocative to you. And that's okay, because everybody has their different strengths. And mine is provoking, sometimes motivating. So if I veer into there because I forget that I'm not at work and instead I'm at church, then forgive me. But the heart is coming from, hey, what is it that he wants us to do? Because we're saved for something, right, not just from something, right? Okay, that was a big, long setup.
Sorry.
All right. So Hebrews 10:24, this is right. The author of Hebrews saying this is how the church should behave. This is how we should behave as Christians. And one of them is, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. King James, which I love, actually uses the word I like better. Let us consider one another and provoke unto love and good works. So when you say here, oh, Sunday's a holy huddle. It's like, this isn't what we do as Christians. That's out there, and this is when we come together. It really is designed, our meetings together, with this in mind.
Yes.
Provoke each other. Don't be mad anymore. Forgive that person and find a way to love them, number one. And number two, we should be doing the work of the kingdom because we are servants,
yeah,
right? And yes. So tell me about what you're doing for the kingdom, right? Not because you have to, but because I want to hear about what you're doing.
Yes.
Because we're servants of the Most High God. The calling is, you know, make this world look more like heaven. Sometimes that's evangelism.
Yes.
Sometimes it's taking care of needy. There's a lot of different ways that can look, but that's what we're doing. So today I am personally, you know, provoking you on purpose. But I want you to think about this. So who would say, I have a specific calling on my life and I'm actively acting in that calling right now? Raise your hand. That is 14% of us. I nailed it. I'm pretty sure that's the number. Quick math. But about 14% of us. So then the rest of us, the other 86%, are like, I don't have that. That's okay. Not everybody has that specific calling. So I'm not saying you've missed your calling. What is your calling? I'm just saying not everybody has that. And so if you are acting in your calling, you know your calling, now you are free to nap. You may, those of you can nap at this point. I want you to think about who's had now, other than a calling, a word spoken of your life, a prophetic word. Someone's come and say, the Lord told me this is in store for you, or he wants to use you in this way. Let me see those hands. Okay, that's a lot more of us. So of those people, say, I've heard that, right? And I have seen that come to fruition, and I am acting in that. Those same people, if that's where you're at, there's no shame here. I just want to see. I'm going to say it's about a third of those people. What's that?
Rephrase.
Yeah, so, rephrase, boy, let me say it.
You're walking in the word.
God has said something over your life that's going to happen that has come to fruition. You've seen that happen, and you're actually acting in that capacity that word had foretold.
Yes.
So raise those hands again. So it's maybe a third of the people that just said there's a word, maybe a third of us are in. You guys don't get all the way nap. That you can, I'll wake you up when it's time. How about that? Okay, so when you think about that word over your life and it's not happening yet, I'm gonna make some predictions. The chances are they may have this in common. There are things that are outside of your control that must happen first before that can be realized. They involve a special gifting, not kind of a common gifting, but a special gifting would be required for you to operate in there. And this is provocative. My guess is you are at the center of those words. It's about you. Not bad. It got really quiet when I said that one. That's weird. Not bad, though. So I'm not saying that those aren't real. I'm not saying God's not going to use you mightily in that way, because I actually believe that, you know, properly weighed, that is will. I'm one of those people. But I wanted to suggest today, by way of provocation, that when we're thinking about those things, typically we're thinking about our end of the deal, and we're not thinking about the need that that's addressing. I'm going to reach the nations, not the nations need reaching really, really bad, right? I'm going to do this. Those people need pastoral care really, really bad. They're hurting, and it's going to be messy, and it's going to be terrible because needs, the world is broken, right? So this idea of that, first thing I just wanted to say, as we look into 2025 and we're thinking about what's in store for us, whatever that is, I would first want to say that I would encourage us to focus on the need versus necessarily what it requires for us, from us, and kind of what, how we feel about it. So God sees the need first, and so we should too. And when you see the need first, it compels you to action rather than waiting for perfect clarity on how and when to act. Right. When you focus on the need, you're like, but the need's there. I can't sit around and wait and know exactly what I'm supposed to do, because I need to go to this need. The compelling nature of that need, yes, pushes us into motion. And this is where I'm going to stop and remind you that if you call him Lord, if you sing it, if you say it, that it implies that you are a servant.
Yes.
And you're sent to do his work on his behalf.
Yes.
So it's about the need. It's not about the servant. I wrote here, we do not praise the hammer for building the house. You are the tool. There is a need, right? And you are a servant. So I want to go back to the car analogy. So in this analogy, now I'm in the driver's seat and I'm the one doing the driving. And I see this need, so I'm going to begin driving with haste toward that need. So I know that I've heard several people in this room probably use a, you can't steer a parked car, right, kind of thing. Like, you have to be in motion. There's something like, the Lord will direct your path. Well, there's no directing if I'm not moving. Just like the first stone stays there lit. Like a directing path, it kind of implies that there is motion there and that that's something that the Lord's going to direct. And then I put this as like, but I'm not just doing that all on my own. Even when it's about the need, am I going to act in any way that I see fit? Well, as a Christian with the Holy Spirit inside of me and understanding the word and balancing those and having wise counsel, like, yeah, like I'm, there is me part of this that is going to be addressing this need. But in the car analogy, it's not just me deciding everything for myself at this point, because I do have, like Dana brought this one up, I have a GPS. I have somebody in the Holy Spirit telling me what turns to make and where to go. I'm moving towards the need, but the specifics of how I navigate there, I'm not on my own on that. But a lot of times we'll just say, until I know the entire way there, I couldn't possibly put the car in gear. And I think maybe I'm not the only one that spent 2024 either in the passenger seat or with the car not in gear. When the Lord wants me, he knows where to come and find me. Right? If it's not clear, I am absolved of needing to act.
That's good.
So, I said, you only need the whole map if the one who knows the way isn't coming with you. If you know the Holy Spirit's going to be with you because he's not going to leave you alone. He's inside you and he's able to help. Then it's okay to focus on the need instead of yourself, because when you see it, it starts you moving. And it's okay to begin moving towards it because you have somebody along that's going to keep you out of trouble. So, Acts 16, 6 through 9. I got it on the back. Good. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When it came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia, bro. Help us out." So what I wanted to point out in here is it's okay to move towards the need if you know that, like, the Holy Spirit can stop you if you're going the wrong way. A lot of times we're like, what if I'm not hearing right? What if I don't have it right? I'm suggesting just trust the Holy Spirit that if he can close off a continent to Paul, number one, it means Paul didn't know he wasn't supposed to go to Asia. He thought he was supposed to go to Asia, and he was trying to go to Asia. So if you go back to being a servant, imagine being at work, and you're sitting there, and you're like, the boss hasn't told me what to do next. So that's time for my favorite app on my phone. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to do it because, like, I'm here to serve. And when he or she needs something, they're going to come and tell me. And your job won't last very long, right? In the military, they say, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean, right? If nothing else is going on, find something around you to do. But a lot of times, like, that person, I have a rental property, right? And then sometimes they need painted when one tenant moves out and another one comes in. And I have some people that I use for painting. And what I don't do is I don't come in and say, hey, come on in. I want you to do exactly this and don't miss that spot. I don't do that because I know that those people know what I'm trying to accomplish and they know their thing and they're gifted for it. So I just say, hey, the place needs painted, touched up, maybe whole rooms, go. I know when I walk in there, I'm not going to see them on their phones sitting on the thing. I'm like, I didn't know what to do next. I painted one wall, and after that, I needed to wait for you to come back. The idea is, like, they know what they're supposed to be doing. They start doing it. If they get to a place where they're not sure, they can ask me. Or if I come and they're doing something I didn't ask them to do, like, you know what? I don't need that done. Focus over here instead. But the point is, there is no point at which they think, I've done a lot, don't know what to do next. It's fine for me on the clock to just chill here. So building on, if we focus on the need, even if we don't know exactly what comes next, we know that we're supposed to move towards the need, because being idle is actually not an option for us as a servant. Right. Now, we're serving because of what's been done for us, not because we have to or indentured, right? So even more so, when you really love your job, you really don't want to sit there. But even if you did, you know that you shouldn't just sit there. Okay. And it's okay to move, because if you're not doing it right, Holy Spirit, at least in my experience, has absolutely no problem redirecting me. So Paul freely moved towards the need. He had the full trust that the Holy Spirit would direct him as needed. He was Holy Spirit was faithful to keep him off the wrong course and faithful to point him at a specific course when the need arose. Hey, Macedonia time. Let's go. Servants don't sit idle assuming their Lord will come and find them when he needs them. They do what their Lord would want done. And if that's done, they seek the Lord to see what he wants them to do next. So don't let the fact that you can't see the whole plan deter you from taking the first steps. Trust that the Holy Spirit can guide you. Okay. So what do I do to start moving? So my favorite Princess Bride... No, that's not true. Who's seen The Princess Bride and quotes from it often? Okay, I'm not alone. Thank God. I won't say my favorite because it's not even close to my favorite. But one I love is, you know, every time that somebody's like, go back to the beginning. Yeah. My first thing is always, I'm back to the beginning. Doesn't even know he's drunk and he's like, this is where Vincini told me to, you know. And then Fezzik has to come and dunk his head and get him going or whatever. But when I think it's like, okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I just know I'm not supposed to be idle. So as we think about 2025 and what should we be doing, it's good to go back to the beginning or the basics of the Christian faith. So Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Everybody should be familiar with this if you've been in the faith for more than a few years. For it's by grace that you have been saved through faith, and it didn't come from you. It's the gift of God. You didn't earn it through works, because otherwise people could brag about it. We're God's handiwork, meaning he made us. Now we're created in Christ Jesus, meaning we're new creations. Now we're created to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So if you're wondering what to do, it's good works. That's what you're created and born again for.
Yes.
And in case you're wondering, God has prepared those good works, right, from the beginning, in advance. They are there and waiting. James 2. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is out clothes and daily food. If one of you says, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it isn't accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. I'd say, show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So this is pretty clear in not unfamiliar, obscure scripture.
Yes.
It is, we are created for good works.
Yes.
If we are not doing those good works, it doesn't bode well about our faith, right? And so there isn't an exhaustive list of good works in the Bible. There are short lists. There are mentions here and there, widows, orphans, least of these. They're there. But unlike other things like fruits of the Spirit and other things where there's even fivefold ministry and elders and deacons, there's lots of scripture going into great detail. On good works, it's not that way, because finding good works to do isn't hard to do. Everywhere you look, the world needs more of God. Every single place you look. So instead of me going, well, these are some examples of good works you could do, what I want to say is, look around you. I think I have that up there. Just look around you. Because what I think might be happening is, if I'm saying this, spurring you on to good works and provoking you to say, we're not going to be idle in 2025. It's, what should I be doing? And I want to say, maybe only a quarter of us should be thinking about things that happen inside of this building in this body. Because those need done, and those are good. But that is, if that's one day of the week, it's 1/7.
Yes.
What is that, 14%? Look at that quick math. 14% of us should be thinking about things to do inside of this body. You know, I really should go ahead and help Roberta more. Megan Estrada, she gets so tired because she's always having to work back there. I'm glad you're in this Sunday. You're usually having to be back there. Those are good, and they need help, and I'm not, by any means, am I not saying get more involved in serving here, but I'm saying looking outside, the other 83% of us, 86% of us, look outside, look around you. Anything that doesn't look like heaven is game.
Yes.
So I have a bonus point here. Doing good works isn't haphazard. So there's these ideas, I'm going to joy someone, or I'm going to pay it forward. I'm not against that. I think that's fantastic. I'm arguing that's not the good works they're talking about. Good works aren't haphazard, the ones I'm speaking of. Instead, I think of about it more like adopt a highway. When you put a sign up that says, I am going to take care of this stretch of highway for as long as this sign's standing here, that's a lot different than paying for somebody's coffee in line behind you.
Yes.
I would actually caution you to don't say random acts of kindness, while I love them and I'm not against you, that is not your testimony to the world. That is a cheap replacement for what I'm talking about. It's not a bad thing to do, but it is not a replacement. So if that's what you're thinking of, either serving inside the church, which I'm not against, or I should do more random acts of kindness, also I'm not against them. The provocative point of what I'm saying is it's not those. You are a servant, and same thing. If I go back to, you know, somebody that I'm paying to take care of a place, and I walk in, and it's like the place is kind of in shambles, but, you know, they left a gift card to Chick-fil-A for me, and with a note that says, "Love you, brother." Like, I love it. Super excited about it. I'm like, why isn't this place painted? So what I'm saying is we've been saved to something. We are Christians. We have a Lord. The Lord says, "I've created you to do good works. They're prepared and waiting for you. I've put them right in front of you." So the provocative part is I'm suggesting that we can't ignore that in 2025. But I can't tell you exactly what yours is. But I can't say it's going to be, I volunteered 3 times there and they loved it and I feel amazing. That's not what Adopt a Highway is. Oh my gosh. Look at how many people littered this road. What I'm going to suggest to you is when you're doing the work, number one, there are times you will feel like a servant. You are sacrificing. And you will go, "I can't believe they littered the road again. Does nobody care? Don't they know how hard it is for me to serve? This world's really broken. There's a lot of pain." You're going to see more of the need when you're addressing it purposefully than you ever thought was there. You just drive down the highway, and yeah, you're aware there's litter, but you have no idea how bad it is and how bad that stretch of road needs you until you're there. I'm going to argue it's really hard to take down the sign once you've seen it. So if you don't have that feeling right now, some of you are going, "I got you, bro. I'm in the trenches and it's rough. And I'm not talking to you right now. I'm thanking you and appreciating you and honoring you." I'm saying to the rest of us, like, we don't get to, "Well, I'm a layperson and I have a 40-hour week job. You don't understand." No. No, you're either a servant or you're not a servant. He's either the Lord or he's not the Lord. So this isn't guilt. This is provocation. Feels like guilt though, right? Because when he came for me that morning in December, I felt pretty guilty. But I think that's like healthy conviction, I think. So let's continue in Acts 16. After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave to Macedonia, concluding that God had called them to preach there. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis, and from there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of that district in Macedonia. I just want to say that when he was getting ready to go, this was not a slight diversion, right? He's got to, like, pack up a bunch of stuff because there's not fast food along the way, and he's got to book a ship, and you didn't go online and book passage. You got to go, like, there was a lot involved in getting ready for him to go and do his good work for the kingdom. And then he's got to sail here, spend a night, try to find a lion's choice on Samothrace, and then sail again over to, where did he go? It's that one that I can't read. Yeah, Neapolis. And then he had to walk for about 10 miles once he got there on the Via Ignatia Road. I did some research. And that road took him across Mount Cimbolum. So he literally had to walk uphill to get there. Like, there was a lot of preparation, a lot of his time he spent, a lot of sacrifice in following what the Lord had asked him to do. So in ROTC, I was in ROTC in college, and I don't know if they do this across the military, but they teach a curriculum called Troop Leading Procedures. That's what you're going to do. You're going to learn to lead troops, and they have these little, you know, topics that they make stops on. And one of those was called reverse planning, they teach you. It's this module called reverse planning. So I've learned so much from that way back then. I've carried into the business. So when I am planning for a new year, it's like, okay, we got a whole new sales plan. How are we going to do this? Nobody knows. Nobody's telling me. I have to figure it out. And so I use this same reverse planning. And I do this. I go, okay, for a second, I'm going to block everything out, and I'm going to go, okay, it's the end of 2025. we've hit X number of millions of dollars, and I'm excited because I hit it, and like the other sales leaders were, and I spend some time like thinking, yeah, we're out to a fancy dinner because we did so well, and everybody's being like, great plan, guy, and I'm going, great work, you. I mean, you killed it with that customer. You know, like, we're all happy, and I get myself on purpose in that mindset, and I'm trying to like, we did it, we feel it. I don't know why this part works, but it does. Because when I'm there, and I'm actually feeling it, then I ask myself, what must have happened? What has to have happened in order for us to get here? And for whatever reason, from that point of view looking back, it's easier. Well, this had to have happened. We couldn't have gotten here if this didn't happen. And it hasn't happened yet. And doing that forces me to do a few things. Number one, be able to succinctly state what that future state looks like. Because once I've lived there a little bit, I know how it feels and I know what it looks like. And if I don't, then anything we accomplish over the years, good job, guys. We moved forward. We got somewhere. But when I know what that future state is supposed to look like really well, then not just any level of progress is sufficient. It also forces me to see the most important steps to get there. So a lot of good things can happen. Our teams can do amazing things. But what are the few most important things without which we wouldn't have had a chance to get here? If these things don't happen, we don't have a shot. It forces me to see those things. Those things have to happen or we're toast. It helps me see the order. Well, if this must have happened, then in order for it to have happened, this would have had to happen. And in order for that to happen, I would need to get busy telling people to start moving here, right? It says those are the order in which the most important things needs to get done. So I can work it all the way back to January and say, you guys, start working towards this. Why? Because if we get here, then we can get here. If we can get here, we can accomplish this. If we accomplish this, it opens this up. Start doing this right now. And it just gives me ability to be sure, right? And then it gets me started on the first thing with focus. Like I just said, I have a, like all of you, a really busy life with a bunch of stuff pulling at me and a bunch of people that want to do their own thing and are convincing me we should do this and wouldn't that be great? All of that stuff is like the whirlwind of my everyday, and that's the urgent, and it will choke out the most important thing getting done because I'm doing a bunch of good things and I forgot to do the main thing that leads me there. And when I do it this way, I start on that thing with focus. When somebody brings me another really awesome thing that sounds good, I'm like, I would love to do that, but I have to say no to that because I have to do this really important thing. Because if I don't, I don't have a chance of getting where I'm going, even though I'll have done a good thing.
Right.
And then I use, this is okay. This is what I so much appreciated, some of the stuff that's come from the front this morning. It's okay that I use other parts of my life to explain things to people about the kingdom. That's not bad. SMART goals are for business. I'm just saying, sometimes it can be really good if you need to make a specific plan. So they're specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, relevant, and time-bound. It just means, just like Paul did, I have to do some planning if I'm going to be able to do what I want to do. So this is a business quote. It's all very, very businessy. But a dream written down with a date becomes a goal. A goal broken down into steps becomes a plan. And a plan backed by action makes your dreams come true. All this is saying is, what I don't want us to do today is hear this and go, man, that's right. I'm going to think on that for a while. I'm going to meditate, right? That's not bad. I would encourage us to think about it. Seek God. What is that thing? What part of the highway am I adopting that links with the part that Dana adopted, which links with the part that Tom adopted? Like, think of a really, really beautiful highway because we're all taking a piece. What is my thing? What I would ask you to do is say, like, think about not just that thing, but how it's going to happen. I don't want to say that once you've done this all in your own mind, that it's said and now you're acting out of your own strength. Make sure that you are adaptable as you're moving along, because it is the Holy Spirit's plan. And he'll download some and you get it so clear, then you can go, okay, I got it. I don't need to listen anymore. So just caveat, you're checking back often. It's a relationship. I know that you guys do this. But sometimes it's like you forget about the plan because I adopted the highway and I'm picking up the trash. And we don't need to talk about that anymore. Keep that sensitivity there. So make a plan. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. But don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another in all the more as the day approaches. So this is that idea. We're supposed to then, as we're acting this, we're supposed to meet together, encourage one another, and spur one another on. So having an idea, this is the Association for Talent Development, and then I'll close, is having an idea or goal, you get 10% likely if you just have that idea. I know what my adopt-a-highway is. You're 10% likely to actually do something about it. When you consciously decide, okay, no, I'm actually going to do this, it goes up to 25. But when I decide when I'm going to do it, it has a much higher percentage chance of getting it done. And when I actually sit down with pen and paper or spreadsheet or whatever your tool is and I plan to do it, there's a 50-50 chance I'm going to accomplish that. And then when I actually commit to another human being that I'm going to do it, it goes up to 65%. So there's that idea of accountability. If you have specific accountability appointments to talk about that with someone in the faith that you've talked to it about and is spurring you on and encouraging you, the chance that you're going to follow through with that goes up to 95%. So I know businessy statistics, but like, this is for a person making a plan and carrying it out, whether it's in business or anywhere. So I think the last point I wanted to make is, as you think about that, well, I'll just say, but as far as you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from who you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful as teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So as you're doing this, there is this equipping. Part of the equipping is the word, but it's also meeting with others, being equipped. That's part of that accountability process. So as you're thinking about this, if the Holy Spirit impresses this upon you today, seek somebody out that can encourage, that knows the word, that is there to help equip you. Because I just want us to be able to look at the end of the year and feel that this wasn't just another year of me walking with the Lord. There's nothing wrong with it. This year, the Holy Spirit and I accomplished this, and that stretch of highway is cleaner than it's ever been. That person just came up and thinking and said, "You saved my life because you shared the Lord with me." Somebody said, "I don't know how I would have got this through this year if you hadn't taken care of me." Things like that. Like, I want to see that at the end of 2025, and it's not going to happen just because on accident or one day. I mean, it does take us being purposeful, us being intentional. So at the end, we'll have the prayer team up here. If you're responding to the message that Tom said about having the Lord be the Lord of your life, come up for that. But also, if you're saying, "I do want to get started, I don't know what my stretch of highway is, and I want to seek," then the prayer team can help you through with that as well. I'm sorry that I went 4 minutes over. I really am. My mouth is so dry. I love you guys. So appreciate you. So thank you very much. Tom, do you need to close out? Okay. So I just want to close out in a quick prayer. Father, we just thank you for being the Lord. We say that if you created everything, you get to decide how it goes. We're here to serve you. We thank you that you don't change. Culture changes around you, but you don't move. And we don't move either. We're here to serve you, even if serving's not in fashion anymore. And we're here to do it the way you want to do it, not the way we want to do it. We just love you. We know your ways are higher than ours. We want to serve. We want to please you. We want to glorify you because you're good. And all you've done for us. We thank you for that. We ask that you bless this week. We ask that you bless our thoughts. And we ask that you point out to us ways that we can serve you in the needs that you want us as tools to take care of, because you're a good God and you want to fix things and you want to restore things. And we want to be part of that with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Mm-hmm. Just real quick, I'd like to have the prayer team come forward if you could. And we would like to pray with people. Just as far as application on that, I have a friend named Dan Reynolds in Chicago. Everybody know Dan Reynolds, pastor? Been here multiple times. I sit in with Dan and I just ask him for ideas, and he comes up with 19. And then he pauses and he comes up with 34. And I'm like, whoa, 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 I cannot write that fast. And he's just ideas person. And I'm sitting there going, out of those 19, I can do those two. Out of those 34, I'm going to go back to the 19. And just some people are just so creative with what to do, possibilities. And some people, I can implement things, but just creative thought sometimes is a stretch for me. And we're all differently gifted. So I just want to ask you something. If you were provoked by a guy and you felt like, okay, I may have spent 24 more in the passenger seat or a decade or so more in the passenger seat, but I there's a yearning to do something, not just spend my time idly, but I want to accomplish things for the kingdom. Can I just say, I want to ask you, consider for a few days and next Sunday, find somebody and say, I want to sit down and kick around my idea. There's nothing worse than wasting your time. Anybody ever waste your time? Great idea. I thought it was a great idea. It was a stupid idea. It didn't have legs. It was not going to go anywhere. But there are some people that say, that is great, and here's two things that you can do to get there. There are some people like this. So I just want to encourage, I felt like when Guy was telling Randy and I about it, with Dana was present, helping him, as she does, I thought, there's so many people I know, they want to be productive. They just haven't been, whether they've been immobilized by fear or overwhelmed or whatever. But Jesus wants us to change this world. And all we have to do is look around. And I just say, what do you mean by that, Tom? Did anybody see snow over the last 2 weeks? Did anybody see a driveway that wasn't shoveled? Did anybody see a neighbor's driveway that didn't get touched? The need is all around us all the time. All I have to be willing to do is get up 3 doors down, lady, single lady, don't know her name. Her driveway was iced for 6 days. I got my shovel and I went over and I took all the snow and ice off of her driveway. She didn't ask me. She doesn't even know I did it. I hope I didn't mess up. But there's a need. All I had to do is open my eyes and go do it. It was not complicated. I didn't even need permission from her. Sorry, lady. All we have to do is open our eyes. The need is all around us, whether it's a grocery store, a nursing home, our neighbor, shoveling snow. It's not complicated. And I believe what the Lord wants us to do as a family, not 14% here, but the 86% out there, it's time. And what a great opportunity. It's time. So what about me? What about you? What can I do to start affecting the world around me? And if you don't know, ask somebody. There are idea people here. Amen? Amen. Let's be blessed, be encouraged. We want somebody to pray with you. We'd like to pray with you. Be blessed. Have an amazing week, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.